Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lang.
Absolute historic day in the world of sports for multiple reasons, but we're talking about the NCAA and the Supreme Court, and that's why we go to the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline to talk to TSN and Forbes legal analyst Eric Macromala. Eric, good evening. It's Nick and Cecil. First and foremost, are you floored by the Supreme Court's decision to basically side with college players and not the NCAA in terms of compensation?
Yeah, I think we kind of saw this one coming. It wasn't a surprise. I guess what was a bit of a surprise was the fact that all 9 Supreme Court justices agreed. You can't get 9 people to agree on anything, okay? You couldn't get 12 people to agree that O.J. Simpson was guilty. The fact that you got, 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices say, yes, this is a massive, massive issue. We don't like any of this. It totally stinks. That was the surprise, how forceful the language was of the justices that wrote the decisions.
So, Eric, with all of that being said, I know there's a lot of former athletes out there like me. Could it get to a certain point where this thing can be a little retroactive, where there's some compensation in there for us as well?
I wish the answer to that was yes.
Gosh,
it's going to be no, but if you need a loan, just let me know. I'm really, really great. So, look, here's the thing is that this decision actually just only deals with a really narrow area. It's not like a massive, all-encompassing decision. All the judges did was they said, look, the NCAA cannot restrict educational-related benefits, like compensation or credits for, like, a laptop or studying abroad or internship opportunities. The judges didn't rule on whether players should be played within the four corners of a billion-dollar business that is the NCAA. That's not what they ruled on. But even though it was really, really narrow, it was the stuff they said on the stuff they didn't rule on, which is a massive, massive deal. Because what they said is, and I'm quoting here, it said the NCAA is not above the law. If any other business was engaged in this kind of sort of fixing of the marketplace, it would be unlawful 10 out of 10 times. So they should be getting special treatment. And the reason that's really important is that today's educational benefits, but that decision, which will now be the leading decision against the NCAA for decades to come, could well set the table for an attack on the NCAA ending most of its restrictions, including paying players. That's why today's decision was such a big deal. Not what they ruled on, but what they talked about on the side.
Yeah, historic and monumental day. And that was Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who basically had said that you were quoting from. Eric Macromala, TSN and Forbes legal analyst, joining us here. Nick and Cecil on the Fan. The next step, I would imagine, is college players unionizing. Is that maybe kind of something next in the timeline we should be looking forward to?
Players have tried this before, and the last time they tried to unionize out of Northwestern, this is like
right.
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Kane Coulter was the lead plaintiff on that, or the lead complainant, and they ended up winning. And I think that, I don't remember this, but the guy that wrote the decision was Peter Orr, and he sided with the players. But it was overturned on appeal, and basically the people that it was appealed to, they said, we don't even want to touch this. Here's the thing. Is unionization is going to be really, really difficult. We have to remember that while we think it's inherently unfair that these players are getting paid nothing within the context of a $1 billion business, these things move like icebergs. You have to chip away at them slowly. And that's what this decision is. It's another chip at the iceberg. Eventually, it's going to shift squarely in favor of the players. It's going to take time. But I don't see players unionized. They've tried it before, and they've been turned away.
So how does this decision today impact, if at all, Eric, the standing antitrust laws when it comes to the NCAA?
Well, with this decision is what the judges are saying is we are now applying antitrust laws or anti-competition laws to the NCAA. You guys have had a free pass now for decades.
Yeah.
You've made all of this money, generated all of this revenue, the billions upon billions of dollars, on the backs of effective employees that aren't employees of law, that you haven't paid anything apart from giving them a scholarship or some other types of benefits. And so the judges are saying, you know what? you're not above the law. And the reason that's important is, I'll tell you this, as a lawyer, I've been practicing law now for 22 years, all right? We're really careful and gentle in the language we use. It's really rare that we use lines like the NCAA is not above the law. Like if you're a judge, judges don't use that language. That's not how they express themselves. They tend to be more gentle and a bit more nuanced in how they express themselves. But here, that wasn't the case. And that suggests now a complete, utter intolerance for the NCAA's business model. It is starting to fall apart. No doubt about that.
Well, Eric May, thanks for that wonderful insight. I know this thing is kind of a fluid situation, and I know both current and former athletes will be paying close attention to what happens, as it appears as though the mighty NCAA has been dealt a mighty right-hand, overhand blow from the Supreme Court. Thank you again, Eric. Appreciate it.
All right, man, and it's about damn time. All right, guys, take care.
That's true on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Eric McCramella, TSN and Forbes legal analyst. And here's the thing, man. This has been coming for so long. The Supreme Court unanimously affirmed. Why can't I say unanimously?
Affirmed
a ruling Monday that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. Also opens the door for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. And this is something that Justice Brett Kavanaugh published his opinion. The NCAA not above the law. Quote, the NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. Close quote. This is a haymaker from the Supreme Court.
And this is kind of like a straight jab from Mike Tyson in his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this is. And I've had this argument for so many years with different individuals. And the excuse is for the NCAA is, as long as you have the players keep their amateur status, you don't really have to pay them or even reward them for any of the accolades. I think about USC when Reggie Bush was there. And you saw all these number five jerseys. Now, Bush's name wasn't on the back of it, so that allowed USC to sell the jersey and not really give any compensation to Reggie Bush. Everyone in America at that time, even Notre Dame, if you went to Notre Dame in the Bush push, you were aware of who number five was.
Right.
So why is it that we continue to make up these storylines and these lies to prevent having balance in the world of athletics? Do as we say, not as we do. And as college athletes, you have to watch coaches make millions of dollars. I think Nick Saban is making $9 million a year coaching football. But if you are part of the national championship, if you're Jerry Jeudy, you don't see any of that. Thank you for helping us out. You were enrolled here at Alabama.
Right.
You helped boost our profile on television and our yearly enrollment, but you see no compensation. How fair is that, Cecil?
Free labor. It's what you're getting. And you get a market off of those players based on the number that they wear. And it's college football. All due respect to all of the college sports, but we know the game. And what do we do on the show?
We tell the truth.
College football runs the show. Like, college football funds all the other sports. And again, God bless you if you're collegiate and you're playing discus or whatever. I don't even know. Disc golf, frisbee golf, whatever. Name the sport. I don't care. It doesn't matter. College football paves the way. So the fact that now college football players could be compensated, this is the destruction of the NCAA. And I got to say, I'm not real sad about it.
No, neither am I. I go back to the whole, you know, Ed O'Bannon thing and the video game where, you know, they're showing.
You know what happened in that? He was over at a friend's house and they were playing like NCAA.
And he saw it.
No. The kid playing it was like, hey, that's you. He's like, I'm playing you. And Ed O'Bannon was like, what? And obviously the distinction, the animation of Ed O'Bannon, it looked like him. It had his measurables. Wasn't named Ed. Named somebody else. Named something else. Player one or whatever, but you saw with Ed O'Bannon, he was at a buddy's house and the kid was like, I'm playing you. And he was like, well, what? 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 And that's what started the Ed O'Bannon NCAA issue and court filing.
it seemed like the veil of the evil empire is now on the verge of falling. Now, right, the Galactic Empire is no more. There's a new hope, and it's the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court comes in and says, I see your Schwartz is as big as mine. That's right. Okay, well, yeah, NCAA dealt a huge blow, and it's not the only one. There's more coming. But what did I think when I heard about the Supreme Court's ruling? We'll tell you that next.